Recall 2 weeks ago, we began our journey through the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus presented the Beatitudes, so those attitudes of being, those attitudes of being holy. If we live the Beatitudes, as we heard last week, Jesus said, then you will be the light of the world. You will be the salt of the earth. With all of that in mind, now our Lord takes 6 precepts of the law and addresses how we're supposed to live them in the fullest meaning. Jesus came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. Now this Sunday we have 4 of these precepts. Next Sunday, 2 more. Actually, looking at this week, I thought I could have had 4 separate homilies here. But being benevolent, I thought I will spare you 4 separate homilies. But we'll do a crash course anyway, because it's very important. God gave us the 10 commandments, going back to the time of Moses. He didn't give us 10 suggestions. He gave us 10 commandments. His wisdom became revealed to Moses through those commandments. These commandments were not meant to be oppressive. They're meant to help us, just like any good guidance that's meant to help us, to keep us on the right path. After all, you and I, poor victims of original sin, know we struggle. We struggle with our weaknesses, our temptations. So the commandments help us to stay on that right path. They help us to live in that image of God in which we are created. They help us to become that best version of ourselves, to become truly holy. So with that in mind, Jesus challenges us not to just live by the surface of the commandments, sort of like the dead letter face value, but live to the fullest meaning. So first one is commandment number 5. Jesus says, you heard, thou shalt not kill. Well, of course, to physically kill an innocent person is a grievous mortal sin, an offense against God. Life is sacred from conception to natural death. So whether we kill a living person who is on walking around or we kill the living unborn person, that's a grievous sin. But we go further. Now, before that, sometimes people, especially kids in the grade school, will ask me, well, what about self-defense? It's important to realize it is wrong to kill an innocent person. Our respect for human life also means we have the duty to protect our life. So if a non-innocent person, an unjust aggressor, a criminal, is attacking us, we have a right to defend ourselves. We have a duty. And even if that means, as a last resort, we take a life in self-defense. This is why, at times, a country, as a last resort, may have to go to war to protect itself. Or this is why even a community, in extreme circumstances, as a last resort, may even have to execute a criminal to protect the community. But our Lord takes it further, doesn't he? He isn't talking just about physical killing. He also speaks about what we can do with our tongue, what we can do with words. Words are very powerful. Beautiful words like, I love you, are very uplifting. Think how destructive words are like, I hate you, are though to another person. We can really kill another person by hurtful words, foul words, abusive words, whatever. I'm sure all of us here remember having, as a kid, a fight with someone and receiving a little punch. Well, we can remember we received a punch, but we don't remember the pain so much. But we all probably remember the mean thing, the hurtful word, the mean name that someone called to us. And that hurts just as much now as it did back then. Words hurt. So while they can be very powerful, they can also be destructive. And our Lord says you need to guard your tongues. St. Francis de Sales said that when we start feeling this anger, and we may then fall into losing our temper, and losing control of our tongue. Pause. Count to 10. If that doesn't work, count to 100. If that doesn't work, count to 1,000. But better to control the tongue than to kill somebody by our words. Also, we could think about gossip. Just gossip. Things that may be true, may not be true, but should be left unsaid, can do great damage. We well know, living in the Washington area, what the news media can do to kill another person's reputation. We know all those characters on Capitol Hill seem to make it recreational to defame another person. We have to be careful, because what we say to someone else will spread, and that spreading could really kill a reputation. Again, St. Francis de Sales had a lady come to him and told that she had gossiped and how this had spread and it really caused great turmoil. Well, St. Francis said, for your penance then, I want you to take a pillow filled with feathers, go up to the Janiculum Hill, which overlooks the Vatican, it's nice and breezy, open the pillow, shake out all the feathers, and then pick them up. And she said, Father, that's impossible. I can't do that. And he said, precisely. You can never heal what you said in the gossip. You cannot heal what you've done to another person's reputation. So, my brothers and sisters, we have to be on guard. We cannot let anger get the best of us, because we not only can kill physically, we can kill with our tongue, verbally. But our Lord goes on, and he says, you shall not commit adultery. Well, of course, sacred love and marriage is meant to be sacred. To take it outside the context of marriage, even single person with premarital relationships and so on, is a grievous mortal sin. Notice Jesus says, though, you can commit adultery in the heart through lust. If we give in to entertaining lustful thoughts, then it is like having an act of adultery. Or if we give in to lewd conversation, dressing immodestly, having flirtatious conversations, or going to places like a Hooters, where the libido is fed more than the stomach, yes, we are, in a way, committing adultery. We have to be on guard, because that adultery can truly kill the grace of God in our souls. We have to be mindful, too, especially in this day and age, about bad pictures. So bad pictures are so prevalent, especially a real downfall for so many men, including young men in our country. You know, Jesus said, take drastic action in all of this. He mentioned, like, cutting off one's hand, gouging out an eye. Well, he's not meaning that literally, but he is saying take drastic action. So, for instance, if it is the bad pictures, turn off the computer. Turn off the cell phone. Maybe at 8 p.m. say, goodbye, computer. Put the cell phone in the drawer. That's it. Go to bed with the family. Do your family bedtime prayers. Read a good book. Read your Bible. And go to bed. Never forget, the devil tempts us, especially when we're tired, when it's late, when we're alone, and when poor, pitiful us think we need some kind of comfort. The devil will tempt. Take the drastic action. Even if it's just the lustful thoughts. St. Francis of Assisi was so filled with lustful thoughts one day that he couldn't get rid of them, so he threw himself in a rose bush. Well, that'll get rid of your lustful thoughts. Well, if you need to plant a rose bush in your backyard this spring, go for it. But the key is, we can't give in to corruption in our soul that breaks that beautiful love of marriage. Well, with that, our Lord goes further. And he says, whoever divorces his wife must give her a bill of divorce. Keep in mind that Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 19, affirms, going back to Genesis, that when a man and a woman enter into marriage as husband and wife, they form an indissoluble bond. and the two become one flesh. At the time of our Lord, though, the Pharisees came up with this idea that marriage is a contract. So sometimes an arranged marriage, man's family arranging marriage with the woman, there's a contract and so on. Well, the man then could divorce the woman for infidelity because that broke the contract and dismiss her. Woman could not divorce the man, though. That's not fair. But in the time of our Lord, some of the more liberal Pharisees said, well, if a woman goes outside without her veil on, that's infidelity, and you can divorce her. And some said, well, if your wife burns dinner, that's being unfaithful, and you can divorce her. So wives, remember that this evening. So Jesus says, no, that's not the way it is at all. Marriage is marriage. When you say, I love you in good times and bad, sickness and in health, I will love you and honor you all the days of my life till death do us part, those vows are sacred. Now, granted, we live in a society where divorce occurs, sometimes for very grievous reasons. The state will say, well, we'll break the contract, set up rights and responsibilities. But in the eyes of God, the vows are still there. Those vows were taken before God, before family, before the whole church. We can't just disregard that. If a person just goes off then and marries another, just as Jesus said, that's adultery. Now, the church will try to help. And I've known people who've been in such a situation. I've helped many of them as a priest. The church will investigate. Was there a defect in the consent from the very beginning? Did both parties really mean to enter into those vows? Were they capable of entering into those vows? And this is where the church may render what's called a declaration of nullity, meaning the vows were null from the very beginning because of a defect in consent. It has nothing to do with children. It has to do with the validity of the sacrament. So if anyone's in that situation, you need to see a priest. Now, granted, I've known people who have gotten divorced for serious reasons, but sometimes frivolous. Like I knew a couple where the husband, was transferred to another part of the country. The wife did not want to leave this part of the country. Divorced. I know a situation where the husband had cancer and the wife just didn't want to deal with it, walked away, leaving husband and children. Tragic. Where's the love? And that's really the key, isn't it? Where is the love in the marriage? When we look at our society today, we have a 50% divorce rate in 5 years of marriage. That's tragic. I say this to couples I'm preparing. What goes wrong? They take those vows. They say, I love you till death do us part. What goes wrong? What a bad investment, too, when you think of all the money that's spent on the wedding. But if you look at the same research, if couples go to church every Sunday, it drops to 10%. And if they pray together each day, it drops to 5%. And if they don't contracept, less than 1%. So what's the difference? God. It's not about a contract. It's about vows taken with God, in union with God, and God will give us the grace to live the vows. Well, with that, Jesus goes on, and he says, do not take a false oath. He says, don't give into this Pharisaical logic where, if you want, you can sort of get yourself out of the promise you made. So depending upon what you swore on, whether it was Jerusalem, the temple, the altar, the gold in the temple, whatever, you could get yourself out of the oath, the vow. It's sort of like saying, well, I can say whatever I want to as long as I have my fingers crossed. No. Jesus said, if you say yes, mean yes. If you say no, mean no. Be honest. Well, my brothers and sisters, here are 4 points of the law. So it's more than just the face value, the dead letter of the law. It's a living law. It penetrates the depths of our life. Because ask yourself, in doing all of these things, like the bad language, the hurtful words, the lustful thoughts, the perhaps addiction to even bad pictures, to the divorce, the adultery, and so on, it brings death. The law brings life. Follow Christ's pathway, we find life. If we violate it, we find death. So what to do? Take time each night for prayer, and part of that prayer, do a self-examination. Ask yourself, during the day, did I lose my temper? Did I say unkind things, use bad language, maybe hurt someone verbally? Did I entertain lustful thoughts or something in that area? Did I misrepresent myself? Was I dishonest in any way? Did I really pray for my spouse and my other loved ones and really do the best I could as husband or wife, mom or dad? Did I do my best? It's a good self-examination, because then we are helping ourselves with God's grace do what is right. And the next day, we strive to do even better. Secondly, if there is a problem, do a penance. So if bad temper is a problem, or maybe it is the lustful thoughts, make a sacrifice each day. It can be sort of like Lent, where we give up something, like the idea being that we're going to give this up to be mindful of all those people caught in that awful industry of pornography. How tragic that is. Or give up something to control our tongue. Whatever it is. But it's through the prayer and the penance, the sacrifice, that we conquer evil with God's grace. So my brothers and sisters, we'll continue on next week. But I would encourage you, go back to the Beatitudes, chapter 5, verse 1, and reread the whole thing with this new light. And think about these precepts. Ask God's grace, because after all, our Lord wants us to live in His love. He wants us to share in His life. The key is, as Jesus said in the Beatitudes, blessed are the pure of heart, for they will see God. We want our hearts to be pure, to see our Lord now, to see our Lord in heaven. May God bless you.